The Dharma is the teaching, the understanding, the contents of love, none. This experience of the joy of intelligence knowing itself. The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tatyampi, Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance, again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance, again and yet again, may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance, again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering. Dukkha. All things are without self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by a compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts: the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. we are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. So what should we look at this one?
Okay. I've really noticed in the last couple of days how ego tries to assert itself in transition times.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really seen that before. It's like I've been going along with my commitment really well. Because I've known pretty much, more or less, I know what every day kind of looks like. There was kind of a routine to everything. And then when the group started rolling in, there was, I felt this excitement. I was just a little bit nervous because I didn't know how things were going to go. And I could see how ego finds in that, it's an opportunist. A total opportunist. It's like the minute there was like this, this openness of, like the routine was gone, everything, boom, it's right there and tries to get me. Mm-hmm. So,
So just good to see. Here, being here at the monastery and training, you've really been watching and you've had this schedule and it's a lot of support for practice. And you see how there's this period of transition right now. And a big retreat just started. And there's all this excitement in this. And the schedule or the routine was a little bit different. And you just saw what an opportunist it is. It just moves right in as soon as maybe the attention is not as focused and just wants to take over.
Yeah, tries to, rattle me and get me out of center. There was something else that I can't remember it now. So, transition time, and change.
Uh-huh.
That's when it, I feel like that's when I'm vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because, I could really see it. It's like, it becomes loud and starts dragging me away from my commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. It's really good to see because I think I don't remember in what context it was, but there was. I do remember there was a sign in the kitchen talking about that during working meditation, no recording, but in the transition time. Do lots of recordings, and I understand now why, because it's in the transition time where ego tries to get the upper hand, so for me to get that support of the recording and listening, it's really important just so that I remember what I was committed to, because I forget.
We all forget, and it's like you said, it's always there looking for that place when we forget, and then we'll swoop in, and it just sounds like you're really getting a deeper experience of the importance of recording and listening during periods of transition and change, and what a support that is to have that available. Yeah. Is there anything else?
Yeah.
No, I was pointing to that. Is there anything you see about that, man?
Well, I'm really amazed and thrilled to be here.
Amazed and thrilled.
And a couple interesting things. I noticed that this is the 30th year that I have come.
Let's see, I just want to read like that. So this is the 30th year that you've come to the monastery.
I come up here, and when I was first here, we did have, I think the very first retreat I was on was outdoors, but on a platform that had no roof. Mm-hmm. But it was, I don't know, there's one person who could remember that. but it was... that just made it so special, thinking of that, remembering that on my way here yesterday. It just hadn't occurred to me until I was doing the drive and remembering all the things about coming. And then I had a very special experience last night, which I had a lot of special ones in the beginning, sort of you could call them trials or opportunities or whatever. But this one was, it was an animal calling, or... It felt like it was a big cat that was screaming, and then, but not loudly, like screaming, and then for minutes, maybe over a period, that woke me up, and then I listened to it, and I, because we've been looking at security and safety, for me, I've been looking at safety, what is safety related to security, and I all these things just... arose about, what if that is a big cat? You know, maybe it has a den right under there because it's on a, you know, it's on an actual angle, and the hermitage covers what I would find to be a lovely den if I were a lion or something, or even a small animal. But I've never heard that sound here, and then I just was thinking about how. I have this secure, beautiful spot, you know, made for people coming here to practice present. And that animal doesn't necessarily have a home or a spot like that, or, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I thought I should have the gumption to get up and go. But all my windows were open, and there were windows all around me. And I just thought, no, I'm not going to do that. It's just going to have to be okay, or whatever it is, it's going to be fine. And I went back to sleep, and I didn't hear it again, and there was no sign of it in the morning. So I have no idea what it was, but it just felt like it was part of... these amazing opportunities that happen here to put that place of if I can just come back to center and to knowing that everything is okay, then that's when I'm secure. That's how I, even if it is a mountain or whatever it was, I don't know why that one keeps coming up, but it didn't. I didn't hear it leave, and I didn't hear it arrive. And I was sound asleep when I got there, but still, I'm just getting cats, you know, keeping very quiet. So anyway, that was just. It's a very special place here, and everything reminds me of that. Not just the, you know, the opportunity to be out here with critters, but.
It's amazing and lovely. And there was so much in what you said. It was you know, you mentioned safety and security, and that's something we're looking at in the year-long retreat, and it sounds like you were looking at last night with, you know, so many levels of what you might identify as safety and security. You're at the monastery, which, you know, to the heart, I'm projecting here, like there's no more safe and secure spot on the planet, you know, and you're in this nice little hermitage that's got doors and windows and all this, and then there's this unknown noise, you know, and the attention wants to get pulled to what's that, and, you know, kind of wondering if, you know, if it should be checked out, and all of that, and yet, you know, coming back to realizing that in looking at safety and security, presence is the most safe and secure spot, which is coming back to what you were saying, is what the monastery offers, that you come here to practice that presence, that place of safety and security. Yeah. How lovely that is.
It is. I don't even get to have that experience in other places. I mean, there's only maybe a few times in my life I've been close to wildlife where I knew it was really there, like on our trips to Africa.
Yeah, good point. You know, really, such an experience of being close to nature, life in all forms, mountain lions, Kit Kats, you know, but, yeah. You know, dogs, all of it. And to just really be close to that and to realize and get this experience of safety and security in the midst of something conditioned mind would say, well, that's not very safe. That's not very secure. Yeah.
Well, and I think what it's also pointing me towards is that thing of thinking of the universe as friendly and for just as what they are is what is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's friendly. It's as friendly as I am when I'm hungry.
Yeah.
or starving.
The universe is friendly. Mm-hmm. And what an opportunity just to get to experience that.
I know. It seems like we train for that.
Yes. Yeah. What an incredible training just to train to be in the presence of the friendliness of the universe. Yeah. Christine.
Well, two things are happening for me. One is I feel this incredible sense of lightness since I've been here in a way that I don't remember feeling before. And I don't know if it's because I'm not, like, on such a strict schedule, at least not yet. It's only been, you know, 12 hours. But usually I'm thinking, okay, I've got to get my notebook and my recorder and my pen and the right socks. And, you know, so I just feel like, oh, this is, it just feels so good. And I think part of that is, too, it's the end of spring, early summer, and there's just deer everywhere. I mean, everywhere I look, there's a deer munching on leaves, and they're just so sweet to look at, and they seem light on their feet, the way they jump, you know, their motions, and so maybe I'm just feeling an extension of all the deer I've been seeing since I've been here. And then the other thing that's happening is, you know, I'm doing something new. I'm in the kitchen. I have no idea what's going on. And I have, you know, at least five questions for everything I'm asking. I'm like, okay, well, what about this? And how do I do that? And what next? And so it's been a really fun process for me. And I got to see it. I walked out the kitchen. I don't remember which time. And right there was that voice of, they all hate you, they just wish you'd go away. Mm-hmm. And the next time, you know, that whole same thing, I don't need to go into it because, you know,
they all hear it.
And I walked back in and I reached up and grabbed my little hat and it said, I'm a good person. I'm sure you all know that. I've never seen it. I looked at it and I was so touched. And that lightness that I've been feeling, it's like it just surrounded me. I was like, yeah, I'm a good person. And I was able to take it in, you know. And so there you have it.
Wow. So, you know, it's really having a different kind of experience here at the monastery, you know? Yeah, just that wonderful light feeling. And it's not about, it's so different than being on a formal retreat, as you were saying, you know, where there's, you know, wait, but anyway, there are certain, you know, on the retreat, yeah, there's just certain times you show up and it's all laid out for you.
Yeah.
And right now you're just experiencing a little bit more of the unknown, like just being at the monastery in a whole new uncharted territory. How exciting, you know, what is this and where do I go and, you know, how do I do it and all of that. And then how beautiful that to just see the support that life offers, you know, and that hearing what we all hear, life hates us, I'm in the wrong place, I should know how to do all of this stuff without having to ask or whatever goes on, you know, and then you pick up the hat, a really good person. Yeah, there it is. Wow.
So I've been in the midst of a wonderful gift of a workshop on There Is No Self and Other,
mm-hmm.
and pure undisturbed consciousness living in all consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And this most recent term of the workshop came in the form of getting to spend a lot of time with a newborn baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a great lesson in that pure undisturbed consciousness slipping into all consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
It was as if life was saying, okay, in her curriculum, it's time for her to see the exact image of what she's going for.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get to spend a lot of time with this newborn who it touches on everything we've been talking about, the security because, you know, I just got it on such a tangible level, how utterly impersonal everything is.
Mm.
And the accompanying workshop, in addition to the newborn, is this peace quote that has been with me for weeks and weeks now, which is, one must let the play happen to one. We want to gather more than know, and or sense more than know, and gather more than understand. And so to loose the mind and let it be more of a sensing, more of a gathering, more than I really want to understand this.
Yeah.
And so when I was with him with the baby, so my hands go in the position. That's how we tell them. It was such a sense of stimulus response, no meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So he would, you know, he would feel something in his body, and then an expression on his face, or something would happen in a nerve, and his arm would do that, or he would, you know, need to have a spasm in his diaphragm, and so he would pick up, or, you know, there's just no, and it was, I mean, to have made meaning of all this would have been just, we had to really go far out on a limb to make it, but, you know, we still do, just like, okay, let me see what I can do, well, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
His body is maturing, it's experiencing all these things, and there's nothing to do other than be with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's maybe some things you can comfort, or there's nothing wrong, and
mm-hmm.
there's nothing, you know, it's utterly impersonal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not particular to this baby,
mm-hmm.
and just to see that, to
mm-hmm.
see it in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
and to apply that projection back here to this, because I was seeing gosh, I'm watching more TV than, and I'm eating so much bread, and I don't usually do that. And, you know, all of these things that I could have made so much meaning about and gone into this whole rah-rah about my practice and what does that mean about me. And it was such tedious conversation. And instead, I got the opportunity to slip into, just let the play happen. I'm in this house where they got a god-awful big screen TV. What else are you going to watch when you're looking at that wall? You know, I mean, it's like, and look what's here being offered. I mean, it would have been so stupid to make a big deal about all of these things that I don't usually do when I'm in this setting. And so egocentric, you know. And so that was where that peace quote was so helpful. Just let the play happen. Mm-hmm. Just see when you get to see. And I did get to see a lot. Mm-hmm. I get to see right now. I get to see what withdrawal of having been a lot of sugar and flour is like. I've got this headache. And so it's like, okay, I'm getting to see this. But once again, I'm not wanting to make any meaning of it. I just get to see it. And that is, you know, having one's own experience rather than slipping into that, what this means about me or my practice or my discipline stuff. Didn't make any difference. You know, it sort of kind of has all that feel. Any more than little baby here making it mean anything that he just pooped, you know? Yeah. It's like, well, that's just what it's time to do, right? You know, and we act accordingly or whatever. And it's just, I don't know, it's just such a powerful dissolving. Felt like a powerful dissolving of this illusion of the self that has to have conversation about what it is and what it is and where it is and how, you know, all the time. But it just kind of model my life after this little baby, you know. It was such a fun exercise.
Wow. Getting a lot in that. So what a gift to be able to spend time with this teacher in the form of a new baby who's just exhibits no self. And your undisturbed consciousness slipping into all consciousness, and to have the practice, I would project behind you to notice, to be able to see that in the baby, and to, you know, maybe even go there with the baby. It just really, I mean, I've had a lot of babies around me and I never knew, oh my gosh, you know, they have no self and other, you know, that never occurred to me, you know. And just that place of letting the play happen, just letting the play happen, just seeing that image of the baby letting the play happen. I mean, the baby is not, it's just, well, here I am, you know, and it's just letting the play happen. And in our life, that can look like being in an environment that's like way different.
Yeah.
Way different, we might say, than the one we're usually in, and the one that we know is really supportive of practice. And to suddenly find ourselves in that conditioned kind of reality that we all know and lived in, and yet, instead of that, it sounds like instead of that pushing against it and fighting it and trying to make it different, there was, this is where I find myself. I'm just going to let the play happen.
Yeah. Because there's something in it for me.
Because there's something.
Or else I wouldn't be there.
Yeah. What a great point. Yeah. Really. Life doesn't make any mistakes. There wouldn't, this is where the form is showing up.
It's so easy. I'm just seeing that. It's so easy to go into this thinking, okay, I'm leaving the monastery. I'm going to go into this setting. Gird your loins, you know, kind of brace yourself. And no. And it's so not there's such a lack of faith in life.
Lack of faith.
Positions and
right.
Faith.
Yeah. And it's very, the lack of faith and very constricted.
Yeah.
You know, just tight and what we would associate with conditioned mind.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of collapsing, like, well, there's only one place I can be.
Yeah.
And it's like here alone in my room,
yeah.
You know.
That is such a good point, because we set up, and I did too. I set up all these practice supports, and they were wonderful. And I did do them, and you know, I said, I'm the stuff, listen to it. And so it's not a negating of, well, we need extra support because we're in this. Not that at all. It's more like a stepping back and expanded awareness place of, okay, now I'm going to be in this situation. Let's see. And again, it just goes back to this utter trust and faith that there is no mistake, there's nothing wrong. I'm adequate. We're all adequate to whatever setting we find ourselves.
Yeah, great point. That's not a collapsing. Again, it's not a collapsing into, well, it doesn't matter what the heck happens. Anything goes. It's just a watching. It's, you know, it's just going back to what Helga was talking about in the beginning, you know. It's a time of transition.
Yeah.
And it's a time to just never let the attention drop.
Yeah.
You know, to just keep watching. And we can't control the outer circumstances, but we can practice with the attention.
Well, and Leo, the baby's name is Leo, Leo gave me a good example of that too, so about the attention, because this is so fascinating. Again, I've been around babies a long time ago and didn't have this workshop either, so it's good and nice to see, you know, kind of the Christian practice. But so I was holding him, and, you know, and he's got that adorable little look and looking up and whatever, you know, in the face, and I would, he has no attention. So I would do my little fingers or, you know, do something, and he was just, I mean, there's no, and I would do it, you know, over here, and there's no attention. There's no attention to be directed one way or the other. It was so fascinating. Like, he would be looking at the light coming in on the blinds, and we would think, what's he looking at? You know, because we think he's looking at something. And that there's this sense of separate, of there's him and there's something to look at. And to get it, that he has no sense of, I'm forgetting all this, but like, if there is no sense of a me, then there is no sense of an other, a light or many lines or anything. It's just, so if let me kind of tie it back to what I'm saying in terms of the directing attention, is that in the field of awareness, so if I was going to emulate him, the baby in this, I would just see that the attention is not not where I want to live. Awareness is where I want to live. And awareness is aware of the attention, as we've said a zillion million times, but I'm not the attention. Just like Leo wasn't and wasn't kind of moving something. And it'll be fascinating as this child grows to see. That long with the human research, when do babies get attention? You know, I don't know, Google that or something. But it's like how that happens and how then we begin to identify with that. So as I'm walking around now, around the property, I'm just sort of, and again, is that letting the play happen. So the play now is prepping food, so that's the play now. And I can see how I choose to be the awareness. Attention can be going anywhere else, but it absolutely doesn't matter. Any more than it mattered if I was making, trying to draw his attention because it wasn't there. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
I think so.
Yeah.
But to just, that he is in that field of awareness.
Yeah.
He has not come to that. He hasn't started to name things.
Yet. Yeah.
Where, fingers, blinds, noises, whatever it is, it's all not non-separate
reality.
It's all non-separate from him. And he's the blinds. He's the, so there's some movement over there. Wow, it's just all coming in.
Yeah.
And to just watch that. And as you say that, I'm just, how amazing. You're watching him, what it's like for all of us. He's not unusual. This is how we all start, it seems. And then, and then they go through this process of conditioning, where it starts to separate, and to just watch this. And I think what's interesting, what you described, is that to remember that we all come in like that, and that we strive so hard to get to presence and to get to the field, and it, like it's something. To remember that we know that we did it before. It's, and he's not trying hard to do it.
That is just a good point. It's who we are. How many times have we heard the gospel?
I'd say that.
Yeah. You know, it's who we are. And one other thing that what you said is triggering is I'm seeing too that Jesus' admonition of we must become like little children.
Mm-hmm.
I've been kind of looking at this for the past couple of weeks, and what I'm seeing is that the benefit of growing and maturing and then becoming like that again, mm-hmm. like kind of where mm-hmm. I'm in right now, is that we have a lot more options for responses than he does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we have this whole, mm-hmm. so we can be with it in that same pure state.
Yeah.
And be prompted by life
mm-hmm.
in a way that I'm still mm-hmm. through the beginning yeah. of this workshop, but it's in a way that we aren't able to as we grow.
Right.
The same quality
mm-hmm.
of pure undisturbed mm-hmm. consciousness, living in all mm-hmm. consciousness, but the incarnation, the incarnate. He's got such a wider space. Because right now he's just got a few things available to him, a few options open to him, right?
Uh-huh.
But boy, you add language and, you know, skills and all of those things, you know, movement, control, over your motor skills and everything.
Wow.
Yeah. These kinds of creatures. In pure undisturbed consciousness. Wow.
Wow.
You know. So anyway, it's just very fun to see the whole kind of human progression and play with it.
Just to see the whole continuum and realize mm-hmm. that we can come to that place of complete living in awareness and having that whole all of the richness of a human experience that has, that this one has experienced.
Yeah. And there's nothing but love.
Nothing but love.
I was just, and one of the last thing I know going on along that time, but the thing I'm talking about security and is that I knew he was surrounded by love. He was in the best of him. Mm-hmm. And he didn't know that, and he didn't care one way or the other. At some point, he will, maybe care, let him doubt that. And that same confidence that we are so surrounded by love, we can take that in every single moment. Because there's just no. And it was the same day that Sherry was telling Anna on the radio show that, you know, her little baby, you know, Leo could die and his experience would not be any different than what this is. And because of that non-separate sense, and that we can have that same thing too, that no matter what happens, we can live living in that non-separate sense, we can be just as fine with one thing or the other, and try to kind of rest in that. Better love and well-being. Yeah, it's a big time, and I'm just really grateful for that.
Really grateful.
Look forward to seeing what else unfolds.
I have a great image, just resting in that unconditional love,
mm-hmm.
and whatever happens, it's
perfect.
It's unconditional love. Unconditionally love. June.
So. We are surrounded by love is my cue to my Yeah. So I declare that this is the year of love for
that's right.
For him. And it is very difficult to remember. Most of the time, I'm not connected to love. Not even. I don't know what it is. I don't know what goes on. Not present. not practicing, not aware.
So can I ask you, it sounds like you get a lot of information, that you're forgetting your focus for the year, which is one of love, and that you're getting a lot of information, that you spend a lot of time not practicing, and I can't remember the other litany of things, but that, yeah, the things that are not what...
Yeah, yeah, one of the things that was not aware.
Not aware.
But that's not quite true. Mm-hmm. And I forget that it's Zen awareness practice. It's what's wrong with your practice.
Yes.
Figure out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And figure out practice. It's practice.
It's practice.
And it's awareness practice. And it's not Zen. Become aware of what you need to do to be the person you should be.
Yes.
It's not awareness to get somewhere other than one is.
It's not an awareness to just look for everything that's wrong so it can be fixed and find out how we're not meeting the standard. There's a bamboozlement that goes on in an activity and a behavior, and that critique is right there about how you're doing.
Yeah, it's just a constant setup.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to say, I'm very seldom completely aware of what's going on.
Exactly. Hearing Ruth and can talk about what's going on.
It's just puzzling. But what else is going on? How I can have a mantra such as be who I want to be. Meaning, I am part. And so often, it's dismissed and comfortable. So I guess I do kind of know what else is going on. It's karma.
Karma.
It's just like the energy, it's just the directions that the energy here is so. Condition. Since we were at the beginning and in the universe time, this is where it goes. And it's a practice of seeing that. Whenever there happens to be a willingness not to follow it, you don't follow it. You have that little snippet on the
little karma nippers.
It just seems like, I guess the thing that I talk for a lot is, yeah, I was here the first time we started all about it. Yes, and I was doing practice for several years before that. Anything else that I practiced for a tiny fraction of that length of time, I don't really do that. So there's an interesting thing to look at.
Well, the interest that it wants you to look at that, you know, that you just mentioned. I mean, there is this karma that is so, so deeply entrenched going on for countless. And that, you know, it gives us this information and we should just be able to drop it and walk off into the sunset and never have it be confronted again. Whereas, you know, like you say, just that little, wow, who knows what effect just what would get titled as a little nip of the karma, who knows? There to punish, you know, in that place of, like you said, undifferentiated.
Yeah, it does. There is a point to it. This keeps you out of this one. It keeps consciousness at bay.
So there is a point to just keep consciousness at bay, keep one in suffering, and keep one separate.
And so talking about letting
the play happen.
Letting the play happen. I'm only seeing that as whoever's looking is only seeing that as advocating responsibility. License to just stay kind of mild and
does that feel at all like this a duality, like the responsibility being I must take, you know, full responsibility and I have control here. Yeah. Plus, then it wants to tell you, well, the other side of that is, you know, just letting it, just lay down and, let it, yeah.
Yeah.
What was your commitment for the year again?
It's the year of love.
The year of love. And what's dropping in is that we cannot transcend what we have not encountered, what we, whatever that was, you know?
It's just, God, it's so better. It's all I ever talk about in one form or another. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a part of the story that always accompanies it is that the choice, I never made the choice to live at one state, you know. You know, but all virtually been taken out of my hands, so to speak, if I had. Not that it had gone away. I did the same thing when it had been happening.
Exactly.
Here,
uh-huh.
But it's like the environment would have been so
different. Right.
And it just didn't go that far. And it hasn't come that way. Yeah.
It just didn't go that way. Again, that goes back to the control thing, right? You know, that other, there should have been, it sounds like that, like it gets at you, like there should have been a different choice made. Yeah. And that somehow you could have.
So you're saying, I was never going to.
Yeah. Let the play happen, you know?
Yeah, there's so much that points at never having been in control.
Mm-hmm.
It's how unreal that was. Like, I didn't do anything.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Probably did not start out as a teenager going, listing all the things that would happen in your life that would bring you to this place, which is just incredible.
So it's just really good to talk about it.
Yeah.
Just lightens it. Because it can feel really heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can feel really heavy. I would project when we get into a conversation with it about it.
Yeah,
that's really. Yeah, so coming to earth and just taking it out of that isolated.
Maybe I knew an addendum to being who I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that it is what we're about.
That is what's been dropped over and over again as you've been talking this morning. Well, we'd love to, and this is it.
I would love to spend this very hot Sunday afternoon.
What would love do to assist a human who has just gets a lot of information about not living in love? What would love do? More time. Okay.
Well, I wanted to say that I didn't know when I came here that there was going to be a group. I didn't look on the schedule, and nobody had talked about it. So I only heard about the group, 2 days ago.
You mean the retreat?
The retreat.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And
I'm so grateful that I can be here for this time, you know, that I got some, a little bit of an idea how this place works and what needs to be done and how it's done. So, because I felt yesterday, you know, when people were arriving, to me, it felt so sacred.
Mm.
You know, it's such a sacred place.
Mm.
Where people come and practice presence,
mm-hmm.
and then I can be here and contribute to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I just felt so grateful,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, yeah, so,
yeah.
It's so special to me that I can be part of that here.
So just showing up, having no idea that this was going to be part of this,
yeah,
the practice, and then like having all that gratitude arise just to be a part of a sacred experience, and
yeah, and make it possible for people,
make it possible,
you know, and contribute, you know, in my little way, and that people can have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, oh, it's so wonderful,
yeah, and we get to have that experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing that you know, that dropped in, you know, it was such a great conversation. It was just this, you know, that you know, to have the ability to let the play, let the play happen. And keep my commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, that to me is really like, because there is, you know, it's like I cannot control what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not the director of this play.
Yeah.
But I have a commitment,
yeah.
and I can keep that.
Mm.
And, yeah. So, yeah.
Wow. That's a great image. I remind me just of you coming here to spend a month. Is it a month? But the play happened, you know, and you kept your commitment to stay here, not knowing how the play, what was going to happen. And the retreat was one of those things. You know, but just always just keeping your commitment.
And seeing, you know, when do I get thrown off my commitment?
And when do I
go? And seeing that and being able to watch that and coming back to that. And, you know, in that book that I'm reading about the making the change for good, it's, you know, it's not important whether I get thrown off my commitment. What's important is recommitting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
absolutely.
And I totally get that, because I can see how I get thrown off, and you know, I watched that, and I've never really watched it that closely, how that all happens.
Mm.
And now I watch it, and I can, you know, I can record about it, and I, you know, have some ways to support myself in it instead of beating myself up over the head because I, you know, fell off the wagon.
Yeah.
And you know, instead of wasting that time, just recommitting.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and I mean, in a way that's all I have, really.
That's all you have is that commitment.
That commitment and that focus.
Yeah. And that's no matter how many times you start over.
Right.
And you never, that's one of the things I know struck me the most about that book. Doesn't matter if you never finish the 30-day. And I went, what? It's not about getting it done, you know. And what a great point. It's just about seeing, and it's the same way with any commitment we make in life. It's just watching the whole thing, you know, letting the play happen and watching it. Margaret.
What's just arising is unconditional, you know. Yeah, there's no standards, there's no conditions to be met.
Mm-hmm.
It just, mm-hmm. like letting the play happen.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah. Wow. It's like that little baby.
Yeah.
You know, you just like, what standards? What do I, you know, what do I have to do? You know, burp it, da 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 da, and poop it, you know? Just how relaxing to have no standards, and, you know?
Well, because it's not like we're going to let go and be really bad or something.
Yeah.
In that.
Boy, isn't that kind of deeply ingrained?
Yeah.
You know, with the whole punishment will make us better, you know, because.
Because I saw recently for myself just this, it was around the daily workshop that we have with how you process. It felt like as a child, I was worried that I was bad. And then I could do something that was bad. And I feel like that sort of concern about that and attentiveness to it and watching for it, it wasn't like always there, but now I see mm-hmm. when it's there. Mm-hmm. I do see mm-hmm. that process, and I begin to relax and let go of that.
Yeah.
And no, I'm not going to be... Mm-hmm. That was a lie.
That was a lie.
That is not going to happen.
Yeah. That's a lie, and it gets reinforced with a conversation in the head. But, you know, we watch and see it's a lie. You know, we do things that would tell us are you know, wrong and bad. Or, you know, and if we're paying attention, we see it's not the case.
It's that remembering. I guess I was looking at remembering and ways to remember, how to help myself remember what I really want.
Yeah. Yeah. You mean how to set up
supports.
Reminders, supports, so that you can...
Alarms.
Yeah.
On the phone.
Yeah. 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 Boy, that's what we've been talking about, just keeping the commitment.
Yeah.
And how to keep that commitment in our... Surround ourselves with a commitment, and then whatever happens within that, just get to watch. Thank you all. Oh, before we, I'm sorry. This is recorded, and I did want to make one point on the recorder.
Okay.
Yeah. We haven't changed not saying. The first beat of the daily recollection is silence. It's just that this morning life spoke it out loud. It's not, you know, to know it's not changed.
Thank you.